Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Nick.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
You are.
We're doing well. I threw this out earlier, Nick. I know the Browns are 2-6. But the Jets are 1-7 and just traded away their two best defensive players. If this is pivotal, I think. Is it attracting any attention in your business?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Jets guys were a small home favorite coming up on Sunday in this game against Cleveland. And then the news comes down at the trade deadline that they deal away their best corner and their best defensive lineman and Sauce Gardner and Quentin Williams, respectively. And now the Cleveland Browns are 2.5-point road favorites. And I promise you this, this will be the only time all season that the Browns are almost a 3-point road favorite against anybody in the NFL this season. And when I think about this game and conceptually, this game, I do like Cleveland, as crazy as it sounds, Cleveland to win this game by 3 points or more. The Jets' offense is atrocious, and I know they looked good against the Bengals a couple weeks ago. The Bengals may have one of the worst defenses in the history of the league, and A.D. Mitchell, who I like a lot, is the receiver the Jets got, kind of as a throw-in in the Sauce Gardner deal.
Which is a nice move by them.
Yeah, he's immediately going to be their second-best receiver. It's just, can he keep his head on straight? Couldn't do that in Indianapolis, so the Colts give up on A.D. Mitchell. I don't think you'll see A.D. Mitchell play a big role in this game, only going to be, obviously, on the Jets for a couple days at this point. So I think the Browns are going to be able to stop the Jets from doing basically anything on offense. And on the flip side here, what's stopping Quinshon Judkins from having a huge game on the ground? Off the injury report, looks like he's going to be good to go. Now, I'm going to stop short of saying this is like one of the best bets of all time or anything like that. It's two really bad teams. Anything can happen. But if you made me bet the game, I would actually lay the points with the Cleveland Browns.
And over-under is what, 3? 3.5 in this game?
Well, the number starts with a 3. The number is 38. I would bet the under if I had to bet it, but probably will be on the outside looking in of that one.
Do gamers like this kind of a game? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're talking about the battle for the first pick in the draft.
Well, I guess I don't know if either team is going to be like intentionally trying to tank. It's more, I guess the way that I would think about this is this, and I'm curious if you guys have an opinion on it, right? And we're not going to know until we get to like the heart of draft season. It feels like to me, 27. Is like the real, like, electric quarterback class, which doesn't mean that there can't be awesome quarterbacks this class, like if, you know, Fernando Mendoza from Indiana, if Oregon's Dante Moore comes out, right? If Ty Simpson comes out from Alabama, maybe that's a great quarterback class. But with what the Jets did, loading up with 3 first-round picks in 27, it feels like they're almost more focused on that draft to kind of maybe get their quarterback, maybe go for Jeremiah Smith, right, the Ohio State receiver. Mm-hmm. So Cleveland's got 2 first-round picks in next year's draft. The Jets have 2 first next year and 3 in 27. And the Rams also have 2 first-round picks next year. They have theirs and they have Atlanta's. And the reason why I mentioned the Rams is because I think you would be nuts to not consider the Rams to be a quarterback team in the draft, right? Like Matthew Stafford flirts with retirement every single year, and you would think that Sean McVay is going to want to acquire his quarterback of the future at some point, right? It's not Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not going to be Stetson Bennett. So this arms race that I think we're going to have, and maybe it'll be for the 26th draft, maybe the can will get kicked down the road. I think, like, unless one of these teams just, like, organically is the worst team and gets the number one overall pick in the draft, like, the Browns have the firepower to go up to number one. Like, the Jets have the firepower to go up to number one. The Rams have the firepower to go up to number one if they decide they want to. So I'm reticent of kind of saying this is the tank bowl unless one of these teams has decided we need to be the worst team and get the number one overall pick. And then the obvious counter to that is, like, there's no Andrew Luck in this draft class, right? Like, there's no can't-miss quarterback prospect unless they fall in love with, like, Fernando Mendoza, and I don't know if that's the case.
That's kind of what I've been thinking too. You know, we heard 6, 7, you know, could be a historic number of quarterbacks taken in the first round. As this has played out, Nick, I don't know if that's the case. And, you know, you look at veteran quarterbacks who have switched teams, who might have been given up on by their other teams, you know, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith's been tolerable. I mean, there are all kinds of guys there. And I wonder if that factor plays into this game at all for either team. Would you think the Jets more than the Browns would lock in on a quarterback in this upcoming draft?
I think both teams need a quarterback. Like, Justin Fields can't play. Tyrod Taylor's old and, like, can't really play even when, like, he can play. And I think, like, you know, it's like I've been saying all season when coming on with you guys, you know, it's like Dylan Gabriel versus Shedeur Sanders to me is kind of an irrelevance because, like, neither guy is the quarterback of the future for the Cleveland Browns. Like, maybe one of them, probably Gabriel, profiles as a long-term backup. And I'm not trying to bury Shedeur that, like, he can never be a starter. Just feel like you don't take Shedeur in the fifth round if you feel like he's your quarterback of the future, right? So both teams need a quarterback. I guess where I'm at on the Jets is the Jets are farther away in their rebuild than the Browns are. Like, I think the Browns have way more talented young players on the roster than the Jets do. And again, like, the Jets loading up in 27 tells you that maybe, like, that's the draft class that they're targeting to really make a splash in. And it does make sense, right, with some of the quarterbacks that could be coming out, you know, in 27. Like, is that an Arch Manning year? And Arch has been playing a lot better for Texas. Like, that's Jeremiah Smith's draft. And, you know, he's so good at the receiver position that maybe he bucks the trend. And maybe he's good enough that he actually goes first overall. I mean, he's absolutely insane, Jeremiah Smith. So I if I had to guess, I would say the Browns would be more likely to grab their core.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Quarterback now than the Jets are, but let's be clear here. Like, both teams need their franchise quarterback. And I think, like, gone are the days in Cleveland of Sashi Brown, right, who kept kicking the can down the road every year. Like, when are you going to cash in on these assets? Like, I think the Browns are, like, kind of ready to do that next year with the quarterback.
Who do you like in the AFC North now?
Baltimore.
Still?
Yeah.
Even though they're two games back.
Well, they have everything in front of them, right? And I guess it really comes down to, like, do you think the Steelers can beat the Ravens head-to-head? And Pittsburgh did get a huge win last week against the Indianapolis Colts, obviously. But Baltimore plays Pittsburgh twice, including Week 18. They still play the terrible Bengals twice. They get Cleveland again. So Baltimore's schedule is way easier coming down the stretch. And as of right now, the Ravens will be underdogs, and things can change, right, if Lamar gets hurt, whatever. But as of now, the Ravens will be underdogs in one game they will play the rest of the season, and that's Week 17 on the road in Green Bay. And who knows, by the time we get there, maybe the Ravens are favorites in that game. Maybe they're five-point dogs, just tough to say, right? But at this moment right now, they will be underdogs prior to the game starting once moving forward this season. Compare and contrast with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are underdogs this week, Sunday night on the road in L.A. against the Chargers. So I don't think it's a slam dunk for Baltimore, but if you make me pick the division winner, I have to go with the Ravens.
What do you think of the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers?
So the Steelers are really interesting because coming into the year, I think the prevailing thought process of many, like including me, was the defense is going to be awesome. Can the offense give you anything to kind of like get them over the hump? And it's actually been the exact opposite. The offense has been really good, and by and large, the defense has been terrible this year. You know, the Dylan Gabriel game against Cleveland notwithstanding. And then last week, they kind of like really came to play, and TJ Watt and the Steelers pass rush like kind of wrecked the game against a really good Colts offensive line. Now, they go Daniel Jones threw three picks, and they and lost two fumbles, and Josh Downs lost a fumble. So that's a 6-turnover game. And looking a little deeper in the metrics of that game, like the Colts outgained them on a yards per play basis, you just turn the ball over 6 times in the NFL, like you're going to lose, no matter who you are and who you're playing against. So part of me does feel like it's a little bit of fool's gold for the Steelers last week's win. But then like we go to this week, right, where for the Chargers, You know, they lost their starting left tackle, Rashawn Slater, all-pro offensive tackle for the season early in training camp. And then Joe Ault, who moved over to the left side and is like an all-pro caliber tackle, he's now out for the season as well with multiple high ankle sprains. So this Chargers offensive line is like not going to be good the rest of the year. And now here comes T.J. Watt and the Steelers on Sunday night. So I do feel like the Steelers have an opportunity to kind of reassert themselves and reassert this defense. I would say that I'm skeptical of Pittsburgh's defense moving forward against some of the better offenses in the league. And that does include the Ravens when they play them twice moving forward this year.
Hey, I just want to switch gears for you a second, just because I want more of an industry kind of answer, if you've got it. You know, we had the fallout with the NBA a couple of weeks ago with a gambling investigation. And it's been, and it kind of settled down here for a second. No one's really saying anything. What do you think is going to happen in the long run for this?
Like, in what way?
Will the league put pressure on their partners to stop prop bets, to... are they going to have new safeguards in place to make sure that, you know, that the games are played the right way and that we don't, I don't know how they can police it. I mean, I'm sure they can tweak things to change it, but just to make sure that there's credibility in what they're doing and that we don't have the FBI investigating our major sports leagues.
Well, what I think should happen, I think I said with you guys a couple weeks ago, and if I didn't, my apologies.
Sure.
I think the thing that makes the most sense, I don't think you need to get rid of prop bets, like, mm-hmm. as a whole. But in the NBA, I don't know if you need to have, like, the eighth or the ninth guy. So, like, who's the eighth guy? Just for example, like, for the Cavaliers. Like, who's, like, the ninth guy off the bench, like, for Cleveland? Like, a bench guy that comes in and plays, like, a couple minutes a night for the Cavaliers.
Dean Wade.
Yeah, Dean Wade's
great. Okay. Like, do we need Dean Wade props? Like, is that necessary? Where, like, Dean Wade is someone who comes in for, like, I don't know, 10 minutes, and I'm making this up. And I can bring up the box score last night. And by the way, Darius Garland back, you think that makes a difference? 132 points last night?
Yeah,
I think the Cavs are about to go on a run here. So Dean Wade played, like, a minute last night. So whatever, let's say he plays somewhere in the range of, how about this? Larry Nance Jr. plays 15 minutes last night. You know, when Larry Nance Jr. comes in for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, and, you know, he gets, you know, he's in some trouble and he's got to make some money, whatever the situation is. Yeah, like, he can go in and dribble the ball off his knee and miss a layup. And we're just going to think, like, okay, like, your dad was really good and maybe he just stinks. And, like, you're not going to really think twice about it. But, you know, if Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland or Evan Mobley or Jared Allen, like, if one of these guys goes out there and is, like, dribbling the ball off their knee and missing layups, like, that's going to be something that's going to be shared like wildfire on social media because those are the best players on the team. So I don't think you're ever going to see a situation where, like, Donovan Mitchell's shaving points. And I'm just using him because he's the star of the team. Like, he's too good. Like, you're going to know if that's happening because he's so damn good. So I don't think we need props for guys like Dean Wade or Larry Nance Jr. That would be my answer. It's not banning prop bets. Like, why shouldn't I be able to bet Evan Mobley over rebounds in a game? Like, Mobley's awesome. He's going to play a ton. We know he's really good. I would look to get rid of some of the props for, like, the lesser players on these teams, and I think that probably solves the issue.
That's an interesting thought. Always a pleasure, Nick. Thank you, bud.
You got it. Wishing everybody Minimal Sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.